Now, the little book of Ruth, if the Lord help, I would like to notice this book with us in the time that we are together. The book of Ruth is the 8th book in our Bible. Now, for the sake of my younger brethren studying their Bible, I would like to say that it is very instructive to notice the position of the books in your Bible. The number 8 is always the number of a new beginning. So there is a section in God's Word. Here God is going to introduce us to a new type of government for His people. When we leave the book of Judges, the very last book, verse in the book tells us every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That's a democracy. Divine rule of theocracy is not based on the principles of a democracy. It is God ruling, and God rules through His Word. And the book of Samuel is going to introduce us to David. That's God's mind. Under Saul, we find a people who are divided. And they came to David in debt, distressed, discouraged. That's the fruit of Saul's rule. But they came to one who would unite them. And in between the book of Judges, where we find God's people judicially brought into blindness, the last judge died blind, poor Samson. And judicial judgment is brought upon God's people. They're going to be introduced to David. That's God's king, picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. But in between, there's a little book called Ruth. It's a book of grace. Grace and rest. And actually, if we may look at it dispensationally, it's the time period in which we are found today. And the book of Ruth is filled with the teaching that God would have us to understand in our day. For it's preparatory. The book of Ruth likewise is preparatory to David. You will find that in the last chapter. The last word that's mentioned is David. That's the purpose of the book. It's interesting to note as well that when we're looking at the person of Ruth, in fact, there are 3 persons in this book that we will try to look at if the Lord will very graciously give us guidance and help. And that is Naomi, whom I want to look at today in chapter 1. And then we have Boaz, a picture of the kinsman redeemer. And we have Ruth, the picture of the poor Moabitish girl is brought by grace into the great inheritance of being a joint heir with Boaz. But when we look at this book, I would like, if the Lord will graciously help us today, in particular, it is a burden upon my heart. Because chapter 1 of the book of Ruth is vital to the whole of this book. There is a woman, her name is Naomi. We're going to notice it as we begin to read. The reason I'm speaking to you like this, I want you to try and keep in mind, if we can, as we read, what the setting of this first chapter is. Because this first chapter is what's going to produce chapter 4. Without it, brethren, without Naomi, in restoration to God, we have no channel through whom Ruth may be brought to Boaz. Now Boaz, being the central figure, as we realize, in the redemption of dear Ruth, each chapter bears a characteristic of Boaz. The first one, chapter 1, is Boaz's home. And I would like to look at it as we read. Keep in mind, if you will, note the things that are mentioned about Bethlehem, Boaz's home. When we come into chapter 2, it is Boaz's field. And the actor in chapter 2 is the chief servant of Boaz. It's service that is in view. Ruth in chapter 1 is sanctified for Boaz, but in chapter 2, Ruth is serving Boaz. But when we come into chapter 3, we find it is Boaz's threshing floor. And the chief actor in chapter 3 is Ruth herself. And the great purpose is that she may be brought to his feet. And in chapter 4, we find redemption is in the hand of Boaz and Ruth. It is the fruit bearing of an Obed that God has in mind. And so, dear younger believer in particular, and that is my chief burden, I would have to say, and you'll have to excuse me, I'm not young anymore, I realize that. I used to try to stay as young as I could, but I guess somehow or other that got away on me. But in any case, I know that I'm not a young man anymore, but I want to say, every young man that God gives to us, He's entrusting you to us, dear young brother and young sister. And in the fear of God, we would like to give to you what is our responsibility. And I hope that the book of Ruth will be a little unfolding to your heart of New Testament truth. That's why it's here. Don't forget its setting. It's put between the time of judgment on Israel and the time of the coming king. And in between there lies this little book that's filled with teaching. Four chapters that are going to teach to us the fundamental truths of the gospel and the fundamental teachings of separation unto the person of Boaz and fundamental teaching relative to the great truth and the product of redemption. So I hope it will be a help to us and God will bless it to us. Let us read then parts of the first chapter of Ruth and keep in mind, if you will, we're going to look at the person of Naomi and God's dealings with her as a channel through whom Ruth may be brought to Boaz. Verse 1 reads, Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. And the name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal gently with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice, and they wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way. I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes, that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her daughter-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. Look down, please, now to verse 19. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. And they said, Is this Naomi? And she said unto them, Call me not Naomi, but call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then called ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. The Lord will very graciously bless the reading of this passage to us. I would like to note with you, first of all, the home of Boaz. It is interesting to notice that dear Naomi once dwelled in Bethlehem. There are five things that are mentioned about Boaz, or rather about Bethlehem, that I hope will be a help to us today, dear brethren, because in the day in which we are living, as this little book of Ruth is going to picture for us, we are living with one central point of interest as far as our service for our God is concerned, and that is the home of Boaz. Interestingly, there are various individuals in the Old Testament that represent the Lord Jesus in relation to his ministry, both in redemption and in saviorhood, in his apostleship, in his high priestly character, and in his kingship. But when we're looking at Boaz, we are looking at the Redeemer. Moses is the apostle. The epistle to the Hebrews would teach us that. He's the one who brings the word from God to his people. Aaron is the high priest after the Aaronic order of priesthood. Joshua, beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus who brings us into the inheritance. But when we come to Boaz, we're looking at the truth of redemption. Now can I say, brethren, I hope that the truth of redemption is understood by us to mean more than just being saved from going down to the pit. Redemption is bringing us into heirship. Redemption is bringing us into privilege. Redemption is going to bring dear Ruth into the great honor of coming into the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ, conveying Christ to the world. That's God's purpose in bringing Ruth by grace out of the land of Moab, that she may have that dignity. 12 times she's mentioned in this book. Only one other occasion mentioned in our Bible, Matthew chapter 1. Amazing. Dear younger brother, younger sister, God has graciously reached you and me, and his divine purpose in doing so is that we may convey Christ to you. That's God's purpose in reaching us. I hope it might reach our heart today. Dear Naomi, she dwelled in Bethlehem, Judah, a place called Ephratah. As well, it is very interesting to notice that Bethlehem was an elevated place, and it was a place of renown. There's many persons in the scriptures. The first one I do believe of renown that was linked with Bethlehem is Benjamin. Benjamin, the son of my sorrow, said his dear mother. Said his father, he's the son of my right hand. That's what's going to characterize Bethlehem. I must say in passing, just for the sake of younger ones again, if I may use that term, if you'll allow me to keep using it, I want to do so because I hope, that younger brethren will become students of God's Word. If anything else is appreciated from what I will have to say in these meetings, I hope that will be appreciated. That you will learn to take carefully the Word of God in your study of it. Not with a preconceived notion, but go to it with an open heart, with a mind that's desirous to be instructed. That God the Spirit may lead you into truth that will not only help you, and will lay a hold of your mind, but that word will govern you. That's the teaching of this book, actually. Here is a woman's life who is going to be governed by the grace of God in the truth of redemption. A woman's life who is going to be totally changed, totally reversed, and the great truths of New Testament doctrine are going to be pictured in dear Ruth as we will come to look at her in the grace of God. She is being brought in to be a channel. We sing a channel of blessing, the chiefest, highest calling of a believer on earth, to be a channel through whom Christ may be conveyed to the world. Ah, dear brethren, I hope that our hearts will be made to thirst after a desire to be that channel, that we may be as Ruth is going to prove to be, a channel through whom God will bring his king to the world. That the world may see the man who was after God's own heart. But when we look at Naomi in relation to Bethlehem, let me mention the 5 things about Bethlehem very quickly. I got a little distracted there because I wanted to try to mention to you that there are 4 cities that are mentioned in the Bible that are all related to the person of the Lord Jesus in 4 different ways. There is Bethlehem, in relation to Boaz. That's the home of the Redeemer. And may I use it in application and point out to us, brethren, that God's dwelling upon earth today, amidst his people gathered unto his own precious name, the name of the Lord Jesus, bears the characteristic of these 4 places. The home of the Redeemer. My, how precious to convey to this poor old world the great truth of our Redeemer. There is Shiloh. Shiloh is the home. The first occasion that you will find it, of course, is linked with dear Jacob. And God is going to deal with Jacob. He's the servant. It's the home of the servant, even our blessed Lord, the chief servant of Jehovah, who would send forth the truth of the working of faith and the working of the kingdom of God. The third one, of course, is the city of Jerusalem, and it's linked with the king. The fourth one is Zion. Now, Zion was really a part of the city of Jerusalem, but the distinction between the two is Zion is the home of the temple. Jerusalem is the home of the throne. And the four of those four cities are all linked with the Lord Jesus in the fulfillment of his work as Redeemer and as servant and as King and as God. The center of the throne of his people is in Jerusalem, but the temple is in Mount Zion, the city of the great God. And that will be a help to you, especially those of you who are younger, when you're reading through the book of the Psalms. You will find Jerusalem and Zion are often linked together, and yet they're separated, because they represent the home of the king, the throne of David, and they represent the place of the temple, the throne of God. But let us look at Naomi in this passage, and I'm going to be finished here in 10 minutes, so you're going to have to look at Naomi today in a very short way. But could I mention to you that Naomi is active in each of these chapters? In fact, I think I'm just going to limit myself to try and notice Naomi and how she's linked with each of these chapters today, and perhaps the Lord will very graciously give us help to notice a little more detail in weeks that will come if our Lord Jesus has not returned. First of all, then, let us notice Naomi in chapter 1. It's restoration to God. There are four things that mark dear Naomi in this chapter. She has lived in Bethlehem, but she left Bethlehem. She turned away. Ah, the sadness. What is it that caused dear Naomi to turn away? Dearly beloved, can I charge each of our hearts here today? There is within every one of us potential to be as a Naomi and to turn away. But can I point out to you who are young couples here today that the very area that the wicked one attacked first when dealing with Naomi was the family. And there are principles in our world today, brethren, that are linked with Moab. Moab was a son of incest. He was a son of Lot. It was an area of amoralism. There was no morals as far as Moab was concerned. Three occasions we find Moab linked with impurities. And that's what Moab is going to represent in this passage. And to Moab, compromise with a world that knows no morals as far as God is concerned. Elimelech takes his wife and his two sons. That's the language that God uses here. That's very important. Can I say to you who are young husbands in this room today, this world out here will bombard your mind with the acceptance of social issues that will ruin your family and ruin your marriage. That's the purpose of Moab. That's what's going to happen to dear Naomi. She's going to lose her husband in Moab. She's going to lose her two boys in Moab. She's going to have two widowed daughters-in-laws from Moab. Oh, the sadness. Brethren and sisters, can I say to our hearts today, if I may put into your hand the principle that God is trying to show us here, if there's going to be a channel through whom a poor outsider's roof is going to be brought to the feet of a Boaz, there must be understood that the land of Moab is a place of danger. Naomi turned. She went away to a land, the last time that you will read about Moab previous to this passage is back in the book of Judges. You remember old Ehud, that great big fat old rascal that was a Moabitish man? What's he doing there? It required an Eglon, a man with a dagger, to take him away out of the picture. Brethren, it is the same principle today. God teach our hearts the principle of dear Naomi. She turned and lost the great truth of headship in the family. And Naomi is left alone. Yes, headship is attacked down in Moab. And she lost her husband and lost her two sons. I need not emphasize further the social issues of our day. In fact, I do not want to take time to do that at this point. But I tell you, dear brethren and sisters, we are not being persecuted for our faith in the Lord Jesus in an outward fashion. We are being persecuted in our minds. Our minds are being bombarded with anti-Christ principles in this world today. And one of the main areas that the devil is after is the headship of the family and the mother of children and the children of the family. To undermine divine principles, young man and young woman, married here today, can I say to you kindly, you bury your understanding of your marriage in the book of God, not in the principles, irrespective of how logical they may seem, that are around you in this world today. Take your principles of your wedding, the principles of raising your children, the principles of your affection for one another, from the book of God, lest Moab should undermine and you lose your husband and lose your sons in a place that was marked by incest. But Naomi, in chapter 2, can I note with you that in chapter 2, and I will come back to chapter 1 very quickly for just a moment, but in chapter 2 we find that dear Naomi, she's respected. In this chapter, Naomi has been restored. And now she's going to introduce dear Ruth to Boaz. Notice her acquaintance and her knowledge of Boaz, if you will. Take time to read it on your own. I'm not going to be able to develop that. I'm not going to even try. But dear Ruth has a knowledge of Boaz in her restoration that she never mentioned before. And dear brethren, it's a knowledge of the Lord Jesus in all the greatness of his character as the man of wealth. She mentions him as being near kin unto us, something she'd never mentioned before, had no idea of introducing Ruth to Boaz, until restored to the land of her possession and to her inheritance, she introduces the stranger to the man who is going to bring redemption into her life. Let me mention to you in the third chapter that dear Naomi is the resourceful one. In all the resources that she has in that third chapter, she's counseling. She's counseling Ruth to go to the feet of Boaz, to go to the threshing floor. Good counsel for a young person. Here is dear Ruth. She knows nothing of the principles of the house of Bethlehem. She knows nothing of the principles of the land of Israel. She has never dwelt here before. And here is dear Naomi, the restored woman. Her counsel in chapter 1 and chapter 3 are counsel of contrast. Let me note them with you. In chapter 1, she tells Orpah and Ruth, go back. Go and get a husband in Moab. Poor counsel, brother. The counsel of a woman away from God. And can I say, dear younger believer here today, a little word of counsel to you? Never trust the counsel of a person that has left God's assembly. That's what's here. A woman who left and away from God, she gave bad counsel. That's what's here. A woman who left and away from God, she gave bad counsel. Go back. Get married back then. Go back to Chemosh. That's the god of Moab. A grotesque figure. Immorality. And she said, go back. But when I turn to chapter 3, I hear the counsel of a woman that's been restored to God. She says, you go to Boaz. Go to his threshing floor. Uncover his feet. And lay thee down on kindling man. Good counsel. Ah, brethren, that's the counsel of a restored mother. And may I say, indeed, for the encouragement of mothers who are here today, teach the young woman. Take them aside, my dear older sister. Take them aside to teach them the precious truth of uncovering his feet. Looking at the Lord Jesus through the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you will find his feet are mentioned in every book. And as you uncover his feet, it brings you, like the dear woman of Luke chapter 7, not only to uncover his feet, but to cover them with kisses. And with the tears of her eyes, to wipe them with the hairs of her head. What had happened here in chapter 3? Naomi, who had turned away from Bethlehem, Judah, she heard that there was bread in Bethlehem. And she returned to the land which she had left. Upon returning, counsel could be trusted. But when I turn to chapter 4, with which I must close very briefly now, you'll notice that dear Naomi, it's her rejoicing. She's rejoicing in little Obed. The fruit of the union. Here is fruit from this dear girl Ruth, whom she has brought out of the land of Moab. She's brought her to the feet of Boaz. Now she's cradling in her arm the fruit of that union. My dear brethren and sisters, may I say, as I close this first part of the meeting here today, we need Naomi in Bethlehem, Judah. Bethlehem, Judah was an elevated place. Bethlehem, Judah was the birthplace of men of renown. We mentioned the Benjamin. We must mention the David. We must mention as well that Bethlehem, Judah was the place where our beloved Lord honored with his presence as he came into our world. Marvelous place, the house of bread. In the land of Judah, the place of praise. And as well, Judah was the tribe of preeminence. What honor is given to the Lord Jesus? That's the house of God. That's the place of the Redeemer. That's the home of our Boaz. Dear brethren, you need Naomi to be restored to Bethlehem, Judah. Ephrathite. You know the name Ephrathite as well is very instructive. It has a dual meaning. It means to be small, and it means to be fruitful. How beautiful. That's Bethlehem. That's where Boaz lives. That's where Naomi is restored to. In chapter 1, Naomi is restored to the place of bread, Bethlehem. That's what Bethlehem means, the house of bread. She's restored to the house of bread. In chapter 2, Naomi is teaching a new convert how to glean wheat to make bread. And in chapter 3, Naomi is teaching dear Ruth how to find the man who owns the field of bread. And furthermore, at his blessed feet, dear Ruth is covered with his skirt. And that's not an immoral thing. That was one of the truths of the book of Deuteronomy, acknowledging the dependence upon the willingness of a Boaz to meet her need in redemption. When we come to chapter 4, dear Naomi is cradling the fruit of that union. May God give us godly sisters who will fulfill the role of this dear woman in restoration to God, that there may be hands that would meet out that which is necessary for those who are new converts in Christ. Young sisters need teaching. That's Titus chapter 2. Young men need teaching. You need Naomi's who will teach them. And I hope that God will direct us and help us in this book. We may find as well that there are men who can be teachers, as we will see in chapter 2. Now, feeble as this has been, I hope that it will be but an introduction that will interest you as we seek to look at this blessed book. And I hope that this day it will be put into the heart of some dear older sister to be a Naomi and to lead a Ruth to the feet of Boaz, to teach her divine truth, to see her separated under the person of the Redeemer.